When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny's review and breakdown of Secret Invasion. It's finale time, baby. I am Tim Geddes and I'm joined today for the first time on this show by my favorite people in the world, the Star Wars crew, Sage Ryan and Anthony Carboni.
What's up? I'm a Skrull.
Yeah.
I'm one of Tim's favorite people.
You are. Doing content with you guys is always fun and I feel like I've been missing out so much because like, Barrett said this before we went live. It feels like Mandalorian season 3 was like 3 years ago. And it wasn't.
Easily.
But it's just how time's working these days, you know?
Yeah.
You've watched a lot of shows between then and now.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of movies, a lot of stuff going on. Sage, we haven't even talked about Barbie. What are the thoughts on Barbie?
I think it's the greatest movie ever made. I've already seen it twice in theaters.
How many times have you seen Oppenheimer?
Zero.
Okay.
I did not Barbenheimer. I simply don't care about the bomb.
You Barbie, yeah. Barbie. I like that.
I'm Barbie all the way down.
Barbie's a great movie. I think Barbie might almost, Barbie's like a perfect film. And Oppenheimer, listen, if you were going to shoot one of those movies in 70 millimeter, I wish it had been Barbie.
Did you watch both?
No.
Did you watch just Barbie?
Yeah, I just watched Barbie. You're gonna shoot a biopic about the guy who worked on the Manhattan Project in 70 millimeter. Why?
Here's what I'll say. We did Barbie
That's your
week
summer
all week.
Popcorn movie. Why?
We did Barbie week all week on Pixel Circus. So in total, I realized that I put together 7 Barbie outfits last week.
You're amazing.
For screenings of it, for our tabletop RPG one shot, for our 3 episodes of It's Too Early that were Barbie themed. We went hard.
I love that.
Be honest with us, Tim. Have we just lost half the audience?
No. We are kind of funny. Are a straight up Barbenheimer fan. We are.
I'll see it.
Yeah.
But we're here to talk about Skrulls.
We're here to talk about
anyone
secret.
Could be a Skrull.
Anyone can be a Skrull. Anyone can wear the mask. Anyone can cook.
As long as it's clearly pointed out. For like 5-10 minutes beforehand that they're a Skrull.
Yes.
Anyone can be a Skrull.
Exactly. Anyone can be a Skrull. Of course, this is the Kinda Funny screencast. Every week we do the breakdowns. You can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunny. Podcast services around the globe. Just search for Kind of a Screencast and we'll be right there for you. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the show ad-free, just like James Hastings, Casey Andrew, and Nathan Lamothe, our Patreon producers, have done. Today we're brought to you by Honey, BetterHelp, and Shady Rays, but I'll tell you about that later. The finale, episode 6 of Secret Invasion, the 6th Disney Plus MCU show, something like that. Not including the special one-off things, just the shows.
Sure.
I haven't talked to you guys too much about your thoughts on the show overall. So I want to get your thoughts on the whole series thus far and then the finale in particular. Sage, kick us off.
Okay, so for those who have heard me talk, for when we did the prequels, actually, those might remember, I'm a Samuel L. Jackson hater. Which is why it's so funny that you invited me to do this show on the finale. I am not a Samuel L. Jackson fan. In fact, if Samuel L. Jackson has no haters, I am dead.
Damn.
It is me. I am a downright Samuel L. Jackson hater. He's the same in every role, which I get. So if you like that character that Samuel L. Jackson is, you're going to love Samuel L. Jackson projects. If you don't, you won't. But I am a Marvel fan. So I show up for Secret Invasion. And overall, the show has not had a lot to it for me. Again, we run into these problems with these short Disney Plus series where it feels like you're building up to something you're never going to get to in 6 episodes. So either you have to put out a show that is like incredibly high intensity, fast paced, where you almost can't keep up because you have enough to give it enough to make a season. Or you end up in this where you're like, yeah, no, we're getting there. We'll be there. Don't you worry. You just keep watching. And I swear, one of these days, we're getting there. In general, the like government side of Marvel, I think, is a common miss. I don't think that the government, like the government aspects, when you get into SHIELD and all of these things.
The military industrial stuff.
When you get into the military industrial complex of Marvel, it isn't usually very good. And I think that I wanted this show to be an exception. I'm like, all right, you're giving it a whole show though. Like, you might have time to develop something that is kind of background in a lot of movies. And I don't feel like they did. I don't feel like they gave us anything new.
Yeah. Yeah. Did the finale do anything positive or negative for you?
I would say that ended in a place that I felt like satisfied with. I don't think it was a bad ending to a series. I just don't think it was super climactic of an ending. I think it was a satisfying ending though, for what it was.
Cabote, before we get to you, Barrett says that there are 9 MCU shows, which sounds sounds like
you want me to listen because I was
are
going
you including
through,
like Werewolf by Night.
No,
stuff,
no, I'm not including the one-off thing. So starting from
don't read it off. Don't read it off.
Let's see if we can do it. Let's see if we can do it.
Yes. WandaVision.
It's WandaVision.
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Falcon and Winter Soldier. Hawkeye. Loki.
Miss Marvel. Moon Knight.
Miss Marvel. She-Hulk.
She-Hulk. Oh damn! And then here we go. Secret Invasion, number 9. Well, that's number 8.
That's 8.
That's 8.
What are we missing? We're missing one.
What's the one we forgot? Barrett, what did we miss?
What if?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What if? Animated, though. Animated,
yeah,
though,
I wouldn't
right.
have counted what if, but it makes
it
sense.
It does count, though. It does count.
Yeah, no, like, you're right, but I
not,
see
listen,
why that
I'm
was
not
less
trying to.
Less.
Yeah. I'm not trying to, like,
I know, I get it,
animation.
Carboni. You hate animated things, you know? You hate animated
products. There's nothing I hate more than cartoons.
Yeah.
If I see a cartoon on the street, oh, I'll hit him with an anvil.
So, Carboni, what did you think of the 9th MCU show on Disney Plus?
Ooh, lucky number 9. Here's what I'll tell you. Much like Sage, the military government side of the Marvel universe is less interesting to me than the bigger kind of like superhero personal story side, but I don't think I mind it as much. This was the way they promoted this show and the way it is in the comics. And I know I have to judge the show for what it is, but I can certainly judge it by what they promoted it as. They promoted it as a tense spy thriller. They said, who can you trust on every character poster? Like, we were going to be getting twist on twist on twist on twist.
Mystery, intrigue.
And I think you get more reveals in a 2-hour Mission Impossible than you got in 6 hours of Secret Invasion, which to me is a little disappointing. I think there's been a lot of lovely character moments. This cast is stacked. Olivia Colman fucking owns. You know, Samuel L. Jackson, of course, if you're not Sage, owns. And the moments with him and his wife, the one thing that I didn't see coming was the wife, was him being married to a Skrull and caring about this Skrull. And it has a lot of beautiful things to say about immigration, about refugees, about being married to somebody who has PTSD, about all of these things. And those moments are really, really good. I just feel like the overall intrigue of the plot did not matter as much and did not surprise me as much. And my big theory on this, and you can tell me if y'all agree, if this had happened leading up to Endgame, we need everybody to be together and be on the same page. We need to know who we can trust as we're going to fight Thanos. Not only that, but we need to know that all the Avengers that we already know and love and have known for 10 years are actually Avengers. That's very interesting. And that's why Secret Invasion is interesting in the comics, is literally you don't know who's going to be a Skrull.
Yeah.
Here it's like, well, there are only 3-4 people left that we know. And we know who's going to be a Skrull. When Rhodey showed up and was like, I'm Rhodey and I'm a Skrull. I'm like, well, of course you are. Of course you are, because we know Samuel L. Jackson can't be. You know, we know Maria Hill is dead, so who's the Skrull? It's got to be you, bud. You're the only one left. So I think we kind of lost out on some of that. There wasn't a lot of that suspense and intrigue that I expected from the series. But I think overall, as like a character piece for Nick Fury and as some of these other characters, it was a lot of fun. I'm not as invested. That's all.
He's Walter White in this. It was giving, the opening of this episode was giving Breaking Bad so hard as he like ventures down the alley calling his wife.
Yeah.
It's just Nick Fury's Walter White story.
Yeah, it's been a weird show for me because like I there's been ups, there's been downs. In the beginning, it wasn't perfect, but I did appreciate the first couple episodes ending on a cliffhanger that would be resolved the next episode. And it kind of felt like there was a momentum going that we were building. I feel like by the time we got to, I want to say the end of episode three, maybe it was episode four, where we get the Emilia Clarke, Gaia, fake out death thing. I was like, all right, well, we've seen this already in this show twice. Like this feels a little bit like the failures of this, like to your point, Carboni, of how they promoted the show, the failures of this being a like paranoid spy thriller, I think started to really be apparent around that point where it's like, oh man, like you already told us everything. I feel like us as an audience never felt like we were behind the characters. I feel like we were ahead of the characters, which is not where you want to be in a spy thriller. And
you,
on top of that,
you only want to be figuring it out 30 seconds before they reveal it to you,
or even way before that. And I understand that we are to some extent.
No, I'm saying that's what you want out of a spy thriller. It's like you want to feel smart, but you don't want to feel too smart.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I feel like part of this is we are professional TV theorists. We're watching every episode. We know the comics. We're like trying to piece things. Yeah. We're trying to outsmart the media. But I feel like this, for how it's presented, you needed a couple like bigger swings with like actual follow through of us being wowed by it. Whereas this kind of felt more like, yeah, the convenient thing is what happened. And I think that's really backed up, unfortunately, by the Fury side of this, where getting a Nick Fury, I am the opposite of Sage, SLJ forever. And I was excited to get essentially a Fury show. I knew it wasn't going to be like the comics in terms of everyone's here and like anyone could be a Skrull. And like I knew it was going to be a smaller personal story. But I feel like at the end of the day here, we got to know Fury and his backstory, his real life a lot more, which I loved. Anytime it was just two characters having a conversation in any of these episodes, I was in. I thought it was well written. I thought that it really expanded this world, made it feel more real and character driven as opposed to just lore driven, where it's like Fury having a wife wasn't just like some big Marvel reveal. It really, to Carboni's point and Sage a little bit as well, like it allowed the characters to deal with things like being afraid of others, you know, xenophobia and just the PTSD and all of that. So it allowed the show to actually get some really good, touching, deep places. But it reminds me a lot of Falcon and the Winter Soldier overall, where the show tried to do a lot of things. And the way that Falcon and Winter Soldier touched on race, I thought was expertly crafted. It was also surrounded by a lot of stuff that didn't back that up, and it kind of like got in the way of it. And I feel here that's the case too, where we have a story of a character we've been with for over a decade at this point that is so important to this world and like is the glue between everything. And we haven't seen him for a while, and it starts off, and the whole story we're being told is Nick Fury has lost his step. He doesn't still have it. But then the show keeps trying to tell us, but he does still have it. He does still have it. And I feel like with the premise of the show, Fury either had to be a Skrull at some point, and that would make sense here, there, whatever, or there needed to be a reveal of like, motherfuckers, I've had it the whole time, yo.
Yeah.
And those things didn't happen. So it feels a little bit weird. Having said all that.
Even at the end of this one, even at the end of this one, I was like, President Skrull, 1, 2, 3, President Skrull, 1, 2, 3, President Skrull. And they didn't even pull that. There was no like big pull at the end where it's like, it was all part of somebody's plan. You know what I mean? It wasn't part of anybody's plan.
That would have made that like last bit so interesting in the presidential address that became so like violent and divisive if that had been like, oh no, this is like a planned thing still by this like faction of rebel Skrulls to continue the like divisiveness and give them an excuse to like kill civilians, essentially. Like,
oh, there's somebody out there that's Earth bigger civilians. Than Gravis.
Yeah.
That we didn't even know about.
That would have been a very interesting reveal. See, there was not a very interesting reveal.
I think that this is the best episode of the show, the finale.
Okay.
I don't think it's perfect by far.
I agree.
And I wish that how we got here added up a little bit better because like Gaia's character in particular, I thought was like I liked her in this one, but I don't believe that the character we have here is the same one that we've had before. But really when it comes to this episode was the only episode that had reveals that made me go, oh shit, because throughout this episode, there was no less than 3 separate things that made me literally out loud question to Gia, why the fuck would Nick Fury walk into this radiated place, coughing his ass off, and like to do this final one-on-one?
Yeah.
I was like, there's going to be some twist. I was like, but I can't think of a single thing I'll feel satisfied with. And then later, it was like they're doing the two scenes of action where it's like, it's Fury and Gravik, and then it's them in the hospital with the president, and some bullets just are randomly shooting. You're like, who is it? Who could be shooting? And I was like, it's going to be Olivia Coleman, and that's not satisfying at all. But then when they reveal, oh, it's actually Fury as well, I'm like, I like that. That's good. And then the president's speech at the end, I'm like, this is a violent-ass speech. I can't believe this is actually happening. I hope he's not a Skrull. I hope that this is actually the president. And then when it was, and then Fury calls him out like, bro, what the fuck? You are inciting violence. This is not good. To me, those three things, I'm like, this puts a very interesting bow on the series to be like where the MCU is. Will they take it anywhere interesting? I'm not convinced. But seeing the shots of like after the post- world of the president saying this shit and people shooting each other and all that, that is terrifying and real, and like that is the World War III that is even worse than the war that was the original plan.
And the awful thing, the thing that really the thing that like really bugged me out about that scene is we see the British Prime Minister, who we know has been a Skrull and then has been replaced with the real Prime Minister again, so everything's fine. And it's like, and when Fury's like, yeah, they're just kind of killing anybody that they heard could be a Skrull. And you see her die. I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. But that also makes me say, I want more from I believe she's either Indian or Pakistani, but the member of the Skrull secret council who you see her being attacked and she's just like, nope, not in my office.
That was like, badass. That was a cool scene. There are scenes like that in this show that make me go, yeah, I do still love Marvel, and like you can still get me. And it makes some of the other things feel worse because I'm like, come on, guys, it's not hard. I do love Marvel. It is not hard to excite me. And even in the moments where like you have Gaia, who's like, she does something and I'm like, oh, Mantis. Ah, ooh, okay. Those are the things that make me go, ah, shit, I do still love Marvel so much. When it's like, ooh, that's a Captain Marvel power. Ooh, that's Mantis. That I'm like, ooh, okay. That does mean the rest of this was pretty bad if it didn't have me doing like the smallest, give me breadcrumbs. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm back in. I love Marvel. But those scenes in it of the ending of it, I want to see them take that and go like, hey, how often in Marvel have we made aliens the bad guys? How can we explore that, like, there is a faction of humans in the same way there are all these factions of aliens that want to kill us, that like the second that guy went on TV and was like, it's fine, people immediately. And that's exactly like, it's so realistic in how quickly that like incited so much violence. Mm-hmm. That like, hey, Marvel, go there. Let's see what's up.
Dude, Fury's lineup, it's easier to save the lives of 8 billion than to change their hearts and minds. It's like, Sage, I love this. Yeah. I love where we're at. It's just, we've seen before setups from shows or movies that just aren't followed up on.
The thing that I'm worried about with the setups in particular is we know that by the time we get to Thunderbolts, President Ritson's gone. We know that Harrison Ford is playing President Ross. That was like a big deal that's been in the media about this. So you know, when Samuel L. Jackson says, when Fury says, that's some real one-term president shit. It's like, yeah, it is. Ritson's going to be gone. And so if Ritson's going to be gone that soon, like, I wonder what that means in terms of how much of the Skrull stuff is going to continue on through the movies. And we know that Disney and Marvel have already talked about how they feel like, maybe they overdid this and they spread the audience too thin and they spread the creators too thin. And because of that, I'm wondering how much of this like super connectivity we're going to see between this stuff now, or if they're going to be pulling back on a lot of this original stuff for Disney Plus, and what that means for connectivity between TV and film going forward.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I want to keep talking about it, but real quick, let's take a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by PayPal Honey, the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Did you know it only takes a few seconds to get it? That means if you go to add it to your laptop or iPhone right now, you could be done before this ad read is even over. And you know what else works fast? Honey's deal finding abilities. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. When you check out, the Honey button appears. All you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that. And then if it finds a working coupon, you will find the prices drop. We've saved thousands of dollars thanks to Honey, buying costumes, props, tech over the years. Honestly, not using Honey is just silly. Honey doesn't just work on desktop, it works on your iPhone too. Just activate it on Safari on your phone and you get to save on the go. Getting Honey seriously only takes a few seconds, and by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. This episode's brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price, durable frames, and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures just like Mike likes them. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. And every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life, from childhood cancer patients to young adults with serious health conditions. Exclusively for y'all listening right now, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDOFFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use code KINDOFFUNNY. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. We all know life can be hard. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. I know from experience how often it just seems easier to care about others and keep it moving. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burned out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. For more balance with BetterHelp, visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny. So here's the deal, Kaboni. With that, talking about the president thing, one thing that I'm really happy about actually with this finale is for the last 6 weeks, I've been doing the show, talking to different guests, theorizing what's going to happen. And there's been a couple theories I've had that I've stuck by that I thought were, if not locks, pretty safe bets. Some of them being we're going to see Alexa or Valentina de Fontaine, Julia Louise Dreyfus character in some way.
Yeah.
Is she a Skrull? Is she connected to them? Her being on this more governmenty level, I feel like it would just make sense. Not seeing her, I'm not mad at. Like, I feel like they made a story that made sense without her, and I'm kind of like actually happy that this happened without the obvious thing. But more than that, I thought it was a surefire bet that the president was going to die in this because we knew about Harrison Ford. I thought we weren't going to get a Harrison Ford cameo, but I did think we were going to get a name drop or some like post-credit scene of like the president's dead. Next up to be president is Thunderbolt Ross and you see Harrison's face or whatever. And the other thing was I was convinced that Soren, the wife of Talos, was actually Gravik. Like that she was still alive and that she was behind the scenes. And I'm a little shocked. That's the one thing that I'm disappointed in is that she was just actually dead and was killed in between everything. She's the one Skrull besides Talos that we spent time with in the other movies. And this show starts with her gone. And it just feels like she was only gone to allow Emilia Clarke's character to have a character. And it felt weird to me that like she was brought up in every episode. And she, the idea of the planting the seeds and how obsessed she was with the plants and like changing the world to be more like the Skrull planet and things like that. I was like, she has to be more involved than she than they're telling us, and she just wasn't, which is like kind of a letdown to me.
Yeah, it was a real motivator for Talos and for Gaia, I think, more than anything else, like you're saying. But it can a Skrull turn into another Skrull?
But I mean, even Dravik's human form.
No, I know, but I'm just like, that'd be wild.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. Like, that's wild. The other thing I'm going to say is the Super Skrull.
Let's talk about
which
it.
Is one of the dumbest looking characters in the history of the Marvel universe is the Super Skrull.
Comics are otherwise.
Also the name. I also don't understand. We really did New Skrullos and Super Skrull.
Well, Super Skrull's been around. And I remember as a kid, if you got the Super Skrull card in the Marvel cards, you're like, fuck, I got another Super Skrull. Like, it's just
that
like...
name then too. I just love how much it sounds like it was written by a kid.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
But
I just scroll times infinity.
Yeah. They did their best to make the Super Skrull look cool. They did to make sense within the continuity of the Marvel universe, right? We've got Extremis, we've got the Ghost Pod, we've got like all these different things that are making all of these things work, and it's taking the powers of the other characters. It do still look silly. And now we got a Super Skrull running around. What are you going to do? That's too much.
So here's the
thing.
I would
love it if the Super Skrull looked more like in the comics, which looks like the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
The outfit was missing.
This worked for me a lot. Like, it's silly as shit. And it looks dumb. And Barrett, I don't know if you could bring up the picture of Gaia with Drax's arm.
Can we get the guns, please? Can we get the gun show?
Like, look.
So I took this on my phone because you can't screenshot Disney Plus. But there's a specific problem with this. I'm going to guess I'm about Emilia Clarke size and height, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're going to try and get this framing. Her arm's so short.
She do have a little arm.
Why
That's
is
the
it
thing.
Here?
Like, this looks
it's
like
real
a
strong, but real tiny.
This looks like a Photoshop for a meme.
Yeah, totally, totally. I will say, though, in motion, I thought it was fun. And, like, it's supposed to be kind of weird. And, like, the amount that it was flexing and changing into different things... I'm so down with it. I thought that this is one of the only times, especially in a Disney Plus Marvel show, where the third act final thing being just a fucking fight between people. I was like, how the fuck is one of the best ones we got in Secret Invasion? Like, I thought that they did a really good job with it. I don't know how earned some of the things were, but her transitioning between the powers, the setup for that of the
little baby gun.
But here's the thing that's throwing me off, because I haven't watched this. I'm so behind on the show. I've kind of given up, and maybe I'll get to it one day. Yeah. It's not the arm. Her head looks big. Why does her head look big compared to the rest of
her? The arm looks so small. It's because the arm is too small.
Yeah, because she's
but even
she's
her torso.
Well, Emilia Clarke is tiny, but. If you look at where her other elbow lies on that jacket, that's a couple inches lower.
Why did they do that to her? This is she's such a badass in this fight. But in that moment, there was like, I was hysterical. I was hyperventilating laughing when that arm spawned. Yeah. And again, I loved the fight too, Tim. I think it was a very satisfying, cool fight. I think there was great action in it. I love the use of the different powers. But this arm is giving SpongeBob anchor arms.
Yep.
Yes.
It's too short. It doesn't make any sense why it's up there. It looks like an incredibly buff baby.
Yes, it definitely, definitely
does. It looks like a buff baby that can dance like a man.
Like, there's so much you can pick apart here. I know the CG stuff. I know all the stuff, like, is always one of the easiest things to laugh at with this stuff. I liked how silly it was. I guess that's my thing. Is like, I liked that they full-on committed to, it wasn't just Drax's arm. It changed to Abominations. It changed to Thanos's at one point. Like,
well, very cool. My question about that, though, is like, when I was trying to count all the things that came up, and it's like, we got DNA from the Avengers after the battle. We got all this stuff. She's got like Ebony Maw powers at one point. Like, she's doing all of, she's got like all of Thanos's. I'm just like, that's everybody.
So that is the problem. It's like, I think that the scene in this show and the fight between them was great. And it's the type of like using the Marvel play box in the way that I like of like, yeah, man, when she fucking did the Captain Marvel thing to fly them up, I'm like, this is awesome. The way they used all those powers, I feel like, satisfied me, the hardcore fan. But also, if you have just seen the movies, you're like, oh yeah, that's the power from somebody I've seen. I don't remember their name, but like, I've seen that ghost power before. You just don't know the name Ghost. That
stuff's fun. Gave you antennas, to be clear.
Mantis was amazing. Like, honestly, the sleep, all that stuff. I was in love with that shit. But then, yeah, there is the question of, so now you're telling me that this woman that is pretty poorly developed in this show now is the most powerful creature in the entire MCU because she has the powers of everybody, including Thanos and Captain Marvel.
Right.
And they have to do the thing that they did with Captain Marvel before. They were like, yes, she's not available right now.
Well, that, yeah, sorry, that's what she was busy. Is we're already coming up with so many excuses for why Carol isn't around. And it's the Superman excuse, right? Of like, if I decide that I'm going to save everyone, like I have to go save everyone. And so she's like, the thing is, she's off in space. She's saving other planets. She's doing other things. But you have this like, you have this Justice League Superman problem all throughout a lot of this Marvel stuff. You know, they did their best to make it grounded and meaningful that Nick Fury didn't call any of his superhero friends in because it was his problem that he caused, and so he had to solve it. Nick Fury has been in an administrative position and the head of a secret service for years of his life. Nick Fury solving something doesn't mean that Nick Fury personally has to solve it, and especially once 2,000 people die, you would think that he would go, okay, those are no longer acceptable losses. Who is in the phone that I can call right now?
I mean, it's the same excuse we have to make for why the Eternals don't show up for things.
Right. It's like, where are they? Where are they all? And it's, you can ground it. And it made a lot of sense for the logic of the story itself. Like, this is my problem. I will solve it. I'm a self-made man. And this is how I do things. I'm an honorable person. But buddy, like if you have a friend that can like come down from space and just like, throw a couple punches and not kill thousands and thousands of people, that's like a good,
but I'm also
like a
willing.
Good choice to make, you know?
I'm willing to go with you and say, hey, but that's not the story of this. And it's a freaking TV show and we need there to be stakes. And if we let that be the case, if we follow by logic and not the fun fantasy that we play in for Marvel, and like, there will never be stakes to anything because then too many people are too powerful. But we have escalated from like the Eternals and Captain Marvel being these incredibly powerful forces to this person's all of those combined.
Yeah.
And I was like, genuinely, every time somebody's been like, but why not? But what about this character? What were they doing? I'm always like, whatever. I don't care. Shut up.
Yeah.
Whatever. Well, they were busy.
I do whatever they were busy as long as the show is entertaining enough and makes sense within its own logic for me never to think that.
There is still the opportunity for them to explain where Super Skrull goes.
Yeah, there were times during this show when I said, I don't fully believe that nobody else would be called right now, especially since we did see other people in the Marvel Universe being called when Fury needs help through this, right? He's getting passports from people. He's showing up in different parts of the world. He's doing different things. And it's like, you could call in a little more help.
Yeah.
And you're not really giving me enough of this like spy thriller logic that is cohesive through the entire show that doesn't make me think to myself, I just wonder what a superhero is doing right now. Mostly because this only half makes sense and it would be more fun if there was a superhero in it right now.
So taking this from what they gave us, there wasn't too many superheroes in this. They were just talked about, but we get it. It's a TV show budget, even though the budget of this was insane. A whole bunch of different things. We know there's movies coming. That's kind of where I'm at here. We've now seen a lot of these Disney Plus shows kind of tee up a movie and then weirdly not make the connection correctly. I think WandaVision and A Multiverse of Madness is the best example of it. Of like,
fumbled.
It was shaky at best. Like, it feels like it was connected, but also retconny. And I'm like, that shouldn't be the case with these type of things. I understand pandemic. I understand delays. There's been a lot of things and we're still just not.
I understand
up, and I don't
Sam Raimi just didn't get around to watching WandaVision. Sam Raimi's a busy guy, you know,
all that stuff. But then it's like, we look at some of the other shows. We still haven't really seen the shows and movies interact in like this beautiful setup punchline type way.
Yes.
And I feel like with this one, it was kind of interesting. The no post credit scene, no real setup of the Marvels. We know that Fury's going back up to space with his wife. So I guess there is, here's a character that we may or may not see. Like, what's the likelihood we do not see Vara in the Marvels?
I feel like it's 50-50.
Right? That sucks.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
I feel like you I feel like you get an offhand line from Nick Fury about how his wife is like working really hard to restore stuff like that, but we don't see her, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we get one of those things. This is something that we've been promised since Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right? Mm-hmm. These things are Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., do you remember? Like during its season one or season two, was like when we had Age of Ultron, there was this big ad campaign that was, it's all connected. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And it
yeah.
was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Age of Ultron, and it's all connected, and it's going to make sense, and it's all of these things are together. And you're right. I don't think we've ever really gotten that. And yeah. it's kind of a bummer.
It is. And so the other thing, too, is like, so now we, with the setup of this show, it's weird where, cool, Fury came down from space, dealt with the stuff, is now back up in space, and then the Marvels is going to happen. Like, mm-hmm. cool. It almost
feels everyone's
more...
just like chill. Like, hey, Fury, if you don't like this, you get back up into space. Okay, I guess I'm not fired. I guess nothing changes. I guess I'm still cool.
Guess I'll just go back to space.
So we're going back to space then.
And this feels like it's setting up Captain America 4 in a way that I didn't necessarily expect. But also, is it going to see Emilia Clarke in that? Because if not, where are we seeing her again? And we get her teaming up with Coleman in this at the end of it, and it's mm-hmm. like. Clearly, we're talking about world forces here. So I imagine we'll see them in, you'd hope, it's teeing up a storyline for Captain America 4 and Thunderbolts being kind of a 1-2 punch there. But I just have no faith that it's going to be addressed at all.
Hear me out. What if Emilia Clarke just became the queen of showing up in Disney properties, establishing a very interesting character we want to know more about, and then never reappearing?
Oh, my God.
What if that was just Emilia Clarke? Exactly. What if that was just Emilia Clarke's plight in this Disney life?
Whoa. It's all going to be is just two syllables, ends in IA. Get her out of here.
Get it out of here. Now, what? You're interested and you want to know more? And she did a pretty good job? Choke.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll absolutely be in a comic one day.
Yeah. We'll write a novelization of a comic of a video game, and you'll see her in there.
She gave a fun performance. I also wanted to shout out. Gravik, that last monologue that Gravik is giving, holding on to Nick Fury's face.
It was good.
It was good. And it was really good. And I feel like he was a little bit robbed because his first big powerful monologue was literally a rehash of Killmonger.
Yeah.
When they were literally in the art gallery and he was giving a Killmonger speech. And I was just like, nah, give this guy more. This guy can do so much more. He's so good.
Yeah.
And then this final scene with him and Fury, I was like, perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
That's good.
So I was talking a little bit about the either lack of or the potential setup for the future shows and movies and stuff. I think mm-hmm. the biggest thing for me and the potentially biggest reveal of this episode was not that Rhodey's a Skrull. We already knew that. But for how long he has been a Skrull. Because that is interesting with the retcon context of what that means for the MCU thus far. It was revealed here he has been the Rhodey we know in the movies has been a Skrull since Civil War, since he was paralyzed from the waist down, because we see him in the exact same hospital gown that he was wearing in Civil War.
So here's what's crazy: all of those scenes of Rhodey doing physical therapy,
mm-hmm.
all of those scenes of Rhodey doing all this stuff,
watching Tony Stark die,
working with Tony. And working with Tony Stark, where it's like, okay, we're going to put this implant into your body. See if you can walk with it. No, give me bigger one. How does this work? How does this work?
I want to choose to love it. I want to choose to be like, whoa, this is big. Thank you for making me rethink it.
But the other thing is like, you're right. The death of Tony Stark to Rhodey is a huge character thing.
And more than that, it's a huge movie thing for us. Like,
yes.
When Tony dies, he's not looking at Thor and Captain America. He's looking at Rhodey and Pepper Potts. They are the ones with, and Tom Holland gets his moment. But like, that's wild to me. And what bothers me, and again, I'm with you,
husband,
Sage.
His son.
I want to like it. I want to be here for this, and I want to support it. And we can't complain about like, oh man, the reveals weren't there, whatever. And when they do them, we're like, well, that doesn't work. Because if they did it for any other hero, we'd say the same thing. My problem is, though, that the roadie that we've now known and now is confirmed that from Civil War on was a Skrull is so different than the roadie we've seen in this show. And maybe that's because the plan's going into action and now he's like, fuck it, I'm evil. But it's like
dropping it. Yeah.
It's just weird that like this is the same roadie that like made the go back in time and kill Thanos when he was a baby, like joke, but not joke in Endgame.
Yeah.
That roadie. And this roadie just don't feel the same.
This guy is playing a Skrull from the beginning in this show. And you're right, we didn't get that.
Which makes it clear they didn't tell Don Cheadle.
Or they didn't know who was going to be, or they didn't even know who was going to be a Skrull.
That's what I mean. I think they didn't know, so he couldn't know when he was playing it.
Mm-hmm. But even,
he's a great actor. He's a great actor.
But could it also just be like, I mean, the other thing is Rhodey doesn't get enough time in these movies. Like, we know that. There's not enough Rhodey. So it's like what we're seeing moments of him. And I guess I can say to myself, we're only seeing moments of him. And if we saw more of him, maybe it would come through more. So I'm willing to let that go a little bit. But you're right, as a big reveal. And the other thing about it being a big reveal is the way they sort of like throw it out there. Very plain as day. To the point where I think somebody who is a little confused about the continuity now that there are 9 shows and 40 movies might not know what was just revealed to them.
So here's the thing for me, and this is me just being stupidly hopeful.
Yeah, let's go.
Armor Wars went from a show to a movie. Rhodey's getting a movie. I think that this reveal, if they play it right, could be so damn interesting of not only having Rhodey have to deal with the fallout of Stark being dead and armor being all around the world and the problem of Armor Wars, but also dealing with the reality that on top of there being an entire blip that he missed, he was in the Skrull place for 5 fucking years, not dealing with that. In addition to learning that and having to rectify that with his life, he also has been held hostage and someone's been pretending to be him for years as well. That is so damn interesting, and they could do something so cool and special with it. I just don't think they're going to.
I hope they do.
Maybe you make us re-mourn Tony Stark.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the thing is even Cap is gone. So even the person who would, I mean, the original Cap is gone. So even the person who would be able to sympathize the most with what's happening to Rhodey right now is not there.
Mm-mm.
You know, the person who's like, oh yeah, man, I know what it's like to disappear for a really long time and come back and all your friends are gone. It's like, because even the people with the blip, when you got put back after the blip, a lot of your friends were still there. Like, things changed, but like, you know, you saw like people were coming back to their families, to their homes, to their work, whatever. This is just literally, nah, dude, all your friends are dead and gone.
Yeah.
They're just dead and gone.
And they can do something so cool with that. So well thought out and like make us be like, man, this the MCU's back. But
the balancing act is doing it in a way that explains it in the movie for people who don't want to go and watch all this Disney 100%. Plus stuff.
Yeah.
But still make it compelling enough and not spend too much time backtracking for people who have already seen this.
Yep.
And that's something that makes these connections very, very hard for Marvel. That's one of the things that we've seen over and over again.
So I'm going to wrap up here. It's been great talking to y'all again. Remember, everybody, we will be doing a Secret Invasion MCU in review with the normal crew of me, Andy, Greg, and Nick. We will rank it, review it, and recap it against all the other MCU projects, which is getting unwieldy day by day. And this year alone, we still have like 3 more things. We have the Marvels, Loki season 2, and Echo all happening. So we'll be doing all of those things. Sage, thank you for joining us. Where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere on the internet at NotSage or over on Pixel Circus, where I host a show called It's Too Early with Anthony.
Hell yeah. Carboni, where can people find you?
Over on that thing that she just said, and then everywhere at A Carboni, and also just going through my closet to see if I saved any of those Super Skrull cards. They might be worth something. I don't know. Probably not.
I love it. Let us know in the comments below what you thought of the finale of Secret Invasion. And until next time, have a marvelous day.